Welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. With me this time, Grace Parra is here.
Grace Parra is here.
Grace Parra is here. And we have a really special guest co-host today. We have Tien Tran. She's a writer, actor, stand-up, and Chicagoan. And she's sitting right next to me, so I'm not going to say too much more about her. So,
hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be here.
This week, Grace Parra and special guest Tien Tran join me to discuss discord in Casa Conway and Michelle Obama's admission that having it all is hard, even if you lean all the way in. Then we ask ourselves the perennial millennial question, is social media making us all feel awful all the time? We've also got This Week in Sorry and one of the most controversial hills we'll die on ever featured on this show. All right, well, a couple housekeeping bits. Housekeeping bits? Is that what you call
bits.
Items of housekeeping? Bits of housekeeping?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Agenda items? I don't know.
Agendi,
yes. First of all, Christmas is coming up, and we are all leaving town. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do a Hysteria episode when I'm too busy eating cheese and drinking Line and Kugels with my family. So what we're going to do is what we did around Thanksgiving, where we have you guys leave little voice memos and email them to us of the hills that you'll die on. We're also going to try a new segment, see if this works. If it doesn't work, if you don't hear it, you'll know it didn't work. But we're going to try it. Send us, we want to hear your holiday stories. Again, try and keep them to 30 seconds, but talk about the best gag gift you've ever given or received. So here's an example.
In my family,
it is a huge tradition to give men socks and for the men to extremely overreact. Like every man in the extended family is getting a multi-pack of like socks from Target. And what happens every time a sock package is opened is all the men freak out and most of the like women cover their ears. It's like jumping up and down and like fist pumping, yeah, sock.
Like their team just won.
Yeah.
I love that.
Exactly. So that's a fun kind of gag gift tradition in the Ryan family. Another thing, the ACA deadline is coming up. So if you need health insurance, you can find affordable plans at healthcare.gov. Yes, it actually works. But make sure you sign up before the deadline, which is Saturday, December 15th. So you've got another couple of weeks to take care of that, but why push it to the very last minute? Health insurance is just one of those things you don't want to spend a year worrying about.
It's the best gift you can give yourself.
Yeah, you know what I'm giving myself?
Tell me.
I am paying a massive amount in student loans and having it hit December
24th. Oh, and so, that's great.
And so
nice.
Like on Christmas morning, I'll wake up and my balance of student loans will finally be under a certain like
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
That is truly really, the best gift.
I'm really excited.
How are you going to celebrate? By going to grad school?
No, I don't know how I'm going to celebrate. I think I'm just going to celebrate by like, I don't know, feeling very like prudent and frugal and all these like kind
sure.
of.
Sure.
Yeah, like a like Ben Franklin style.
Write a manifesto. I think it's time to talk about how you conquered America.
I think I'm going to go around with one finger raised in the air lecturing the youth about how it's good to save money.
With some wire rim glasses and maybe a gray beard.
Did he have a beard?
I thought he had, no. I thought he had the long, bald, ring around, long gray hair.
Oh, right.
He had the grown out friar tuck.
Yes.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yes, yeah, that's a good look.
Men
strong.
Have been allowed to have such bad hair for so long. And still.
Did you guys see that meme, speaking of Ed Sheeran and Beyonce from whatever concert yesterday?
Oh, my God.
I loved that so much. I think that Ed Sheeran is totally, he's so talented. He's like a. He's just a little, he just didn't put any effort into what he was wearing at all. And Beyonce just was in hair and makeup for 3 hours. And it was very clear, that discrepancy.
Her dress was like a confection.
It was.
It was like undersea confection in like a beautiful pink color. And she just looked incredible.
Yeah.
And he looked like he woke up and was like, uh-oh. And he like... They rolled out of bed and continued to roll all the way out of his house. And on the way out of the house, he gathered some clothes and then he just like went and did a concert in those.
Which is his like standard look.
It's a standard look.
That's what he always looks like.
But why is it that a guy can show up looking like he just rolled out of bed and a woman must show up looking like she's spent 3 hours in hair and makeup?
I think it's a numbers thing. I think it's. I think that there are so many men who dress like that that it's like, oh yeah, it's so totally safe for any man to dress like that at any given time. And there are so few women who dress like shit that it is not safe for us to like just show up looking like we you know just threw a pile of rags on our body.
And I'm gonna start.
You are.
I'm gonna start.
I'm going. I wish I could say that. I'm not going to. I'm gonna keep putting on eyeliner at 7 a.m. for a podcast.
I'm gonna roll out of bed and just. Trap whatever I roll into.
I admire that confection.
Confection?
I got confection in my brain now.
See, guys, this is why we need to unionize. I've been harping on this.
Yes.
But this is why we need to unionize, and we need to be like, these are non-union approved men to partner with.
Uh-huh.
And these are non-union approved occasions to way overdress when everybody else is going to be under.
This is a union standard of how much time you're allowed to spend getting ready every morning.
The
standard
what would be the time?
35 minutes.
Okay, great.
I think that's reasonable.
I think that's
right?
reasonable.
I think it depends on the length of your hair and how difficult it is to put it in a manageable texture.
Fair.
But I think that if you have long hair and it's like, and you prefer to like straighten it or whatever, mm-hmm. I think that you can go up to an hour.
Interesting.
I think. But 35 minutes should be standard.
35 should be standard. You can get it less than that. That's fine. But more than that in your... Your productivity just goes down.
I just moved to a new sublet and like didn't realize that it, I mean, of course, it's someone's home. They don't always have all the things that a hotel would. And so I thought there would be a hair dryer and there's not.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't have one right now.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So you're seeing me like truly I like dumped in the shower, rolled out, and then tried to part my hair with my own fingers and like style.
It looks lovely and very natural.
It does look really good.
I mean, that's what I was fishing for. Thank you.
We fish for compliments here at Hysteria.
That's another union.
Yes.
All right, let's get into the news. First of all, happy Hanukkah to the listeners of ours who celebrate it. This week in the Mueller investigation has sort of been like a celebration of Hanukkah in that there are several nights of it, but it differs from Hanukkah. In that it's causing me emotional damage. but first, I want to talk about, so yesterday we had the Flynn sentencing memo come out. Mm-hmm. Who knows what will have happened by the time you guys listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's really interesting that's happening is that there's some drama in Shea Conway.
Oh.
Kelly, La Casa Conway.
Yeah, La Casa Conway. Conway?
Is Conway. That? Sure, I like that. Why not?
So Kellyanne Conway is married to George Conway, an attorney. And, you know, he earlier this week made a comment about a Trump tweet alluding to the fact that perhaps Donald Trump was engaging in witness tampering. And he did this, you know, on Twitter. Conway was like, hey, and then he did that, you know, this is the exact statute that you're violating. And then the president's son, Eric, fired back tweeting of all the ugly. Now, first of all, you need to like clutch your pearls while you read this because yes. Eric was definitely, he found some and he was clutching them. Of all the ugliness in politics, the utter disrespect George Conway shows toward his wife, her career, place of work, and everything she has fought so hard to achieve might top them all. Kellyanne Poles is a great person, and frankly, his actions are horrible.
Oh.
So this isn't the first time this has happened. He's kind of tweeted some things that are challenging to the president's agenda before and the president's conduct before. And Kellyanne has engaged in a little bit of Twitter shade as well,
mm-hmm.
writing her name as the Kellyanne Conway in Kellyanne Conway's husband. yeah. So
that's kind of funny. If
I like that. I think it's probably the one thing I like about Kellyanne, honestly.
So here's something that I was thinking about. Like, do you agree with, this is such a weird question, do you agree with Eric Trump? Do you think that Kellyanne Conway is being disrespected here?
No, I don't agree with Eric Trump. I think that, like, if your wife or partner or significant other is working for someone who is, like, negatively affecting millions of people and, like, putting children in cages, like, I think that you can totally speak up and, like, publicly disagree with your partner.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, Twitter, though, is the right place to
Oh, play? God, no.
I mean, like, I'm just trying to think, like, also, here's another thing, Grace.
Yeah.
And this, my first thought was, like, what business does Eric Trump have in proclaiming himself the arbiter of good marriages? I think there's more divorces than marriages in that family.
I think for sure. I like that, though, that he's like, be damned, my family record. Here we go. Let's just dive right in. I think Eric Trump, but I actually think that there is something so interesting about this case here, because the reality, I don't know if you guys knew this, but George Conway introduced Donald Trump to Kellyanne. So he's actually the reason that this the whole thing is happening. And as going back as recently as the election in 2016, George very much supported Kellyanne being campaign manager for Trump. And so there's actually this Washington Post article where there's a picture of George Conway crying out of excitement and happiness for Trump being elected and out of pride for his wife being part of the administration. So it's interesting to see the total 180 here, that he's gone from being a big supporter of Trump to now being like, I don't know so much that I support, and actually actively being against him. I think it's like, is Twitter the right sphere for this? Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. But then at the same time, it's like maybe they had a conversation between the two of them where they realized, like, look, we are at odds internally here amongst ourselves. Can we take this to a public sphere as a way of almost like working through it therapeutically? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I also think there's some cynical arguments to be made about maybe the fact I've read this, too. There's a take that the two of them are kind of in cahoots about the way that they're approaching this publicly, that they're very actively like, okay, George, you say one thing so that you can appeal to Republicans who disagree with Trump. And Kellyanne, obviously, you're working for Trump, so you, you know, represent Republicans who do believe in him. And ultimately, that works for the two of them as a couple. That's cynical, for sure. But I don't know how you guys feel about that maybe being the angle here.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever seen that? You remember that episode of House of Cards, I think in season one, where Zoe Barnes like winks at Kevin Spacey's character on TV?
Oh, it's real good.
There's one thing she says that she's going, there's a reporter who goes on TV and she says she's going to send this congressman at the time a signal that to send him a message, and she winks at the TV while she's like on TV. And it kind of causes a scandal because it's so unprofessional or whatever. But I honestly think that this seems like it could be a form of flirting.
Okay. Exactly. Oh, I agree completely. I agree completely. Yeah. Because like, yeah, there are moments like actually there's a dialogue between the two of them, I think also reported by The Washington Post, where Kellyanne is referencing that photo, and she says that photo was from before you cried, the moment where George cried out of happiness that Kellyanne was working for Trump, who was just elected. And George said, now I cry for other reasons. And it is almost like a little, it's like a little foreplay between the two of them.
Have they reached their like ultimate fantasy? Like,
I think
this,
so.
They're like living out their true,
I think so,
role-playing fantasy in front of us.
I mean, I have to imagine, I mean, there's, this is really a team nobody situation. But I have to imagine that, you know, either this is a person who has maybe exhausted all other options in convincing his wife that she's working for a monster.
Right.
Or this is like a fun and flirty thing between two awful people.
Yeah.
And like, so I kind of prefer the flirty version, even though they're both terrible.
Yes, I agree.
They're both terrible. Okay, let's move on. Michelle Obama has been on a book tour. Her new book, Becoming, is dominating bestseller lists, and her tour has been making some headlines. She was at a book tour appearance in Brooklyn this past week, and she was talking about the myth of having it all, which is like the myth that just will not die. I feel like every single generation of women has been like, can we? Nope.
No,
we can't. No. Obama stated, nope, not at the same time. That's a lie. And it's not always enough to lean in, because that shit doesn't always work all the time. And the crowd cheered. Because Michelle Obama said shit. And she quickly apologized, and she said she forgot where she was for a moment. Okay, I want to kind of sit on that last sentence for a second. What kind of I want to know what Michelle is like when she's not talking into a microphone. She sounds so chill.
So I think that she is like, fuck it. I'm not in the White House anymore. I got this book to promote. You can take the cynical approach here too and say like, okay, she's very keenly aware of what she's saying because she's trying to let some books fly off those shelves. But I think that it's great that she's a little more unfiltered. We're seeing a side of Michelle that we never got to see while she was in the White House. I love it.
I love it too. I love also that it's like shit. I feel like it's like the most first base of swear words, and everyone's like, oh my god,
exactly,
she said it. Like,
it's the over the bra of curse words.
It really is.
But what she was talking about was lean in, the limitations of lean in, that's kind of a Sheryl Sandberg coinage. I kind of think a lot of feminists have been criticizing lean in for a really long time. Do you think that Michelle is kind of like the last train to arrive at the station, or that she's just doing this now that she's out of the White House and she can finally talk freely about it?
Well, I don't think it's ever too late to speak up against the problems with Lean In. I think it's great that she's I actually think that she's there's a responsibility that she has to talk about the limitations of Lean In. And I think it's just really important to hear that, because I think that there have been a number of criticisms of it, but not from somebody as powerful as Michelle, and not in the context that she's put forth either. But it is really important. I mean, I, the more that I think about it and the older that I get, the more that I just don't identify with Lean In culture at all. As much as I think it's imperative to teach young women that they can be ambitious and we can achieve our dreams, I think that Lean In embodies a certain level of privilege, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I also think that Lean In can be essentially mistaken for be aggressive, be loud, be the most forthright, biggest personality in the room. And I think that that doesn't lend itself to the other side of the way that we as women should interact in the world, which is to listen and to step back sometimes in observation before we speak, which is not to say that we should be subservient by any means, but I think I think that that kind of binary is one that we don't often we sort of just assume that you should be the loudest personality in the room, and I don't think that that's always right in every situation.
Yeah, I agree. I think a couple things though. Sheryl Sandberg was always kind of upfront about like this isn't for everybody, and I think one of the things that kind of sucks is like I agree that every Lean In should be criticized and we should talk about it, but at the same time, sometimes when a woman puts something out, people are like, well, why isn't this thing about all women all the
time?
Right,
that's fair.
Right.
And it's like, men don't get the same thing. Like, men, you know, if like James Cameron writes an autobiography, people aren't going to be like, why isn't this for, you know, young Hispanic men? And it's like, well, because James Cameron wrote it. It's about pitching the movie Aliens by walking into a room and writing aliens on a blackboard and making the second S a dollar sign. That's what it is to be James Cameron. It's not advice.
Right.
But I think at the same time, like, it's good to criticize. I don't know. What do you think, Tian?
I mean, I always feel very complicated about Lean In terms of just like, it's always when those books come out, they are always feeling like advice for women to like make it in a world that has been built by the patriarchy. And so for me, I'm just like, why can't we be like reimagining, like instead of like you're saying, like about listening and stepping back, it's like all these advice and all these tips are about how to make it in like these very male-dominated industries, using that like those personality traits that have gotten men to the top, which is like being aggressive, being loud. Mm-hmm. I always used to hate when people are like, "Don't say sorry, don't ever say sorry." Mm-hmm. But to me, I'm like, that is why don't apologize? Why aren't you apologizing when you're messing up? Mm-hmm. Like to me, that was always like a trait that was like very masculine to be like, "Don't apologize."
Yeah.
If you're in a meeting and you've fucked up, don't do it.
Right. If you killed somebody,
you dare say sorry.
I agree completely. I agree with that completely. Yeah. And I worry that Lean In culture, because so many people haven't actually read Lean In, but they've just seen the headlines and they've just seen. You know, we don't actually. A lot of people don't
reading.
Grace. I just want to hear Michelle Obama say shit more, by the way.
Me too.
I love that so much.
Yeah. I think that I really like the idea of kind of one of the things that's good about Donald Trump being the president, the coarsening of American discourse means that like somebody like Michelle Obama can be like, OK, I'm going to say shit.
Yeah.
And you guys can't get mad at me because it never was a big deal. But now you see how extremely not a big deal it is.
Yeah.
For me to use words that would get bleeped on, like, you know, network TV.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
This shit is fine.
Yeah. That's why I wish she would just, like, really talk about her true feelings about this presidency. But I know she can't talk about the Trump administration, and she kind of does. And when she does, it's always kind of like in a circle, and she's like kind of walking around it. But I just, all bets are off now. Like, I just feel like the rules are out the window. Like, why can't she just, like, say something?
Yeah. This, in some ways, this is a gateway towards that, which is what this comment, you know, why I think it's so impactful. But yeah, I mean, I just like to see more of that. I think that there's more there. But does it have to be in the context of a book? That's what I question. Like, in what context should we want to see Michelle as unfiltered as possible?
I think she should have a talk show. I think she should come. Yeah, I think she should come and co-host
Hysteria. I love that idea. I love that idea.
That would be amazing.
I mean, because she has this, you know, you can tell that she is a really thoughtful, she's obviously a brilliant woman, mm-hmm. But she's also very thoughtful and empathetic in a way that you don't usually see in public figures, especially mm-hmm. public figures who have been, had so much abuse flung at them.
Yeah.
So yeah, she should have a talk show.
I love that.
I would watch every, I would do nothing but watch that show.
Yeah. Erin would give up her day job.
I would waste away. Amazing.
She would take out more student loans just to,
to support yeah. to support my Michelle Obama
exactly.
the talk show view in heaven. Look, guys, that shit would make me so happy. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, personal political.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And we're back, and it's time for some personal political. This week, we're going to talk about social media. The first time anybody's ever talked about social media.
Anybody in the history of America.
The first time anybody's been worried that social media might not have completely positive outcomes. Yeah. It's funny. We were just talking about Sheryl Sandberg in the last segment, and yeah. I was like, oh, she should have had a chapter in her book about ruining democracy. I would have read that.
She had an addendum and re-release Lean In.
Right.
Yeah. That can be a different talk show.
Exactly. Exactly.
How to ruin democracy. Anyway, ruining democracy with the aid of social media, but it also ruins some of our self-esteem, self-perception. One of the things that makes me think about social media around this time of the year, the holidays, everybody is always flexing on social media, but around the holidays, it seems to be a flex about things that are like weirdly things that I wish that I had more of.
You know, it's
like, hey, look at me. I live around my family. Or like, hey, look at me. You know, I'm dressing my dog in a Santa outfit. And it's like, I think I would like to talk about how social media affects people's self-worth and self-esteem. Do you feel better since you've had Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, or do you feel worse?
I feel significantly worse. I don't love social media. I am finding myself becoming more and more cynical, which, by the way, is a word that I've now used in all 3 of our segments today.
If this were an episode of Pee-wee's Playhouse, we would all be screaming.
Yeah. This episode of Sesame Street brought to you by the letter C for cynical. I've had some situations pop up recently with social media that have made me very wary of it. For instance, I had some imposters pop up on both Facebook and on Instagram. And by imposters, I mean people who are using my pictures in their profiles as their profile picture and also all of their pictures in the album.
I had that happen once too.
Yeah, it's really scary.
That's
and
really
then
weird.
They followed all of my friends, and then my friends reached out to me with screenshots like, did you know this was happening? So I got off Facebook because it felt like that was also just a dumpster fire of humanity that I didn't need to see. But the time that I spend on Instagram, it makes me wary. I also mute a lot of people because there's a lot of people that I find that I might like in real life, and online they are just troll monsters. Just troll monsters who deserve swift and bloody deaths. And so I'm very appreciative for the mute of it all. But I understand that there are virtues to social media, for sure, and I'm sure we will get to those. But it is my take that the negatives of social media, I think, somewhat outweigh the positives.
Do you agree?
I go through waves. Mm-hmm. I go through waves of like feeling good mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. social media mm-hmm. and like posting a thing that does well, mm-hmm. which is gross to say out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, like posting a thing that like gets a lot of affirmation and gets a lot of likes. I'm like, great, we're having a great day.
Yeah.
But like,
it dictates your mood.
It totally dictates your mood. And I know I've had moments where I'm like, God, I'm having a bad day. Let's post something and see what happens like see if I can start to feel better. I think for me, though, the biggest thing was like seeing other folks' like career goals being met.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like friends of mine who are also in the industry and in comedy, and like seeing them get like booking gigs and like doing different things. And I used to like just mute and go away. But then I was like, I want to be a good friend. I want to be like supportive of these folks that are getting these gigs and jobs. And so I've, you know, prescribed my own exposure therapy where I make myself look at these things. Uh-huh. And like,
oh, wow.
And I'm just like, I'm working through my feelings of being jealous by just like seeing it and being like, oh my gosh, you know what? This is great. This is positive. Mm-hmm. And I want to celebrate my friends. And like, I'm starting to feel like much more positive about that aspect of social media.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have noticed, I guess, recently is, so Twitter started out as being this like fun place that people told jokes and like got to interact with celebrities. And then it became this like awful vortex of inescapable news hell, which is, you know, when you work in news hell, it's sort of useful in the way that like if you're Satan's assistant, being in actual hell would be useful. But like, you know, and then I just sort of realized, oh, you know what's nice is Instagram. It's so friendly. Yeah. Everyone's so supportive and so cool. And then it just has sort of become this like fuck pit.
Yes.
Where like and I don't mind people being happy with the way that they look or wanting to share pictures of themselves. But it's like, I feel like it's become so overrun with just it. All it is like Instagram models,
yeah.
And like, and I just want
to sound of thirst.
Yeah,
right there.
It's so thirsty.
It's so,
but I just
want to
see.
Dude.
It's like people who are trying to make a living just not doing anything, and like I don't. But fine, you know, good, make a living. But I went to Instagram because it was like, oh, this is a way for me to see what my friends are doing, and like, oh, look at my, you know, my college roommates, like her and her wife's like cool house, and like look at this and look at this, and it was like. Now it's just sort of like, oh, do you want to follow this person? Here's a suggestion. And it's like, oh, yeah, like six guys I know follow this one like Instagram model who's always like writing captions that sounds like she's gotten hit on the head. Like and got hit on the head and they woke her up and they're like, write a romance novel. And she was like, in the morning, I wake up feeling the vibes of sunshine.
No.
And it's like. It's just, I don't know. And maybe it's just me being insecure, but it's like, I feel like there's so much just, it almost makes me feel bad about myself because it's like,
yes.
Oh, I'm not 28 years old. I don't weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm not constantly wearing like lingerie and laying by a pool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, what is this?
I am constantly wearing lingerie and laying by a pool, which doesn't really make sense because lingerie is not absorbent. But I do it anyway. But I don't post about it, you guys. That's the difference.
I mean, my favorite of that version is like someone posting a really sexy pic and being like, is there a booger in my nose? Like,
yes.
Saying, like,
oh my God.
Doing the thing that's like, oh God, like, oh, maybe I'll take this down. And it's.
I saw a girl the other day wearing lingerie and like thigh highs. And the caption was, what do adults even wear when they sleep anymore? And
okay, that.
And, yeah, just. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, and then these are, by the way, people like in relationships, and you know, and that's the thing that's so. I agree with you, Aaron. That I said, Aaron, so I forgot your name briefly.
It's me, Aaron. Grace also got hit on the head today.
I did, exactly. That will explain my Instagram post. I think that it highlights our insecurities without offering a solution.
Mm.
And I really like the positive take that you have on it.
I'm trying.
Like, yeah. I mean, exposure therapy is, but that to me, It's risky. You have to know that you are secure enough in yourself to dive into the hornet's nest like that. I don't think I could do that. And I also think that Insta story in particular has become a downfall of Instagram, because it used to be that you wouldn't really post more than one or two posts a day, and that was kind of it. There was a cap. But now with Insta story, people are just highlighting their lives constantly. I mean, they're live streaming their lives, which there are platforms for. That's what, you know, Snapchat was for. That's what Twitch, I think, is for, like in the video game world. There are other formats that kind of fit that. And and if you want that, then you go to that and find it. But for Instagram, it did feel for a while, Aaron, that it was somewhat of a utopia. And now I think that that's completely gone. I read this article that paralleled social media to the American mall. That malls used to be this place where you go and look around and shop, and there's like lots of different types, different demographics of people. It was the great equalizer in many ways. But eventually, as we've seen in America, the decline of the American mall has occurred. Now we see that it's just sort of like this vast empty space, and maybe there's some people here.
Wow, it's a metaphor.
Here and there. Exactly. It's a metaphor. It's the first metaphor that's ever been told. And I think that really spoke to me. Like, and it's not just for Instagram, but it's really applicable to all formats of social media. It's a place where everybody congregates, all excited, and there's all these different brands and new types of people to see and new experiences to witness. And then eventually we all pick up and leave.
Right.
And that, I think, is what's happening with social media, too.
Yeah. I think it's sort of like the idea that anytime any new technology is introduced, it's like people are going to try to use it to fuck or fight wars with. And we've already seen them fight wars or like try to wage a sort of information war. And now they're trying to use it to fuck.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have when I'm looking at like thirsty trap Instagrams is like, who took this? That I'm like, who is following you around?
Yeah.
How what did this look like from a third? If I could be a third point in a triangulation, what would it look like?
Yeah.
Like, would there be somebody standing over you as you're laying on a reclining beach chair? Like, would I be like, this woman is getting robbed? Like, what would I think? But I also, you know, I don't want to like totally shit on social media, to borrow a word from Michelle Obama.
She invented that
she
word.
Invented. She did.
She did.
She did.
I don't want to shit on it because I think that there have been positives for me. Like, it's allowed me to share things with people that I normally would have fallen out of touch with, you know,
totally.
Which is like on a very base level. It's also allowed me to look at places that I never would have looked at. And it's allowed me to, when I was traveling in Nepal for a while last year, I could like use it as a signal flare to be like, I'm alive, like post an Instagram because it has a really low profile of, it's really easy to like upload it with bad Wi-Fi. But it's also like, I think allowed me to see into the lives of people that I wouldn't normally see. And Tian, when we were talking about this before, you mentioned that it's like important in certain communities. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I know like as a queer Asian femme, because you guys can't see me and I just want to identify myself, that like it's a very important tool for the queer community to kind of like find solidarity, especially for the trans and non-binary community. Because like, you know, there's not a lot of representation in media, and for folks to be able to like, you know, show that they're out there, and then they like friends and family to be able to like support and affirm that is very, very affirming. And so for me on my feed, like I see a lot of like fellow queer folks posting selfies, and it's this idea of like visibility over validation, where it's just like, we're here, we're trying to imagine like new social constructs by putting ourselves out and taking up space.
I love that. I love that. I love that. I actually think that that's applicable with a situation that actually just happened a couple days ago with me. Not so much about identity, but about community. I found out that my favorite teacher from high school passed away. I don't know if there are any people who went to St. Agnes Academy in Houston, Texas, but Dan Westerman was this amazing philosophy and theology teacher. And I think I mentioned earlier that I got off Facebook recently and felt really good about it. But Facebook was probably the only place where I had a lot of connections to classmates. And in the past couple of days, I've been thinking, would I have been able to communicate better with that community of people in this time of mourning and reach out to people who are also experiencing this sense of loss had I still maintained a connection on Facebook? And the answer is definitely yes. So I think you're absolutely right to point to the communities, the type of community that can be forged on social media, whether it's during a time of loss or happiness or finding identity, and not to conflate these two things by any means, but I think there is virtue to be found in it. But the question is, how do you use social media almost exclusively for that and block out the rest of the noise. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that perfect formula is.
Well, I also think that, like, you know, establishing yourself and being like, here I am, I exist, I'm a person, and you have to look at me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that there's something really powerful about that. I think that it kind of slides into a next step, and I'm not necessarily saying that about any specific community, just generally speaking. Mm-hmm. The next step seems to be like, and here's the life that I'm choosing to mm-hmm. show you, mm-hmm. which is like, I exist, and here's a very curated version of my life,
yes.
like two different things.
Yeah.
And so eventually you get to a point where, like, you know, Grace, you mentioned that some people are shitheads on social media, but they're not mm-hmm. in real life.
Yeah.
But it's like, well,
yeah.
what is it if not real
exactly.
life?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
like, why
exactly.
is there a difference between what kind of a person you are on Instagram and who you really are? And I was thinking, like, you know, sometimes people will post things or say things about themselves that are just totally in the moment, not mm-hmm. representative about what happened. Like, have you ever posted something maybe when you and a significant other were fighting and it was like you and them getting along?
Yeah.
I mean, like, have you ever posted something where you were maybe not maybe you weren't feeling great or weren't having good, but like a very
yeah.
old selfie and been like, oh,
yeah.
I'm feeling
cute. Yeah. Feeling cute, might delete later. Yeah.
100% I've done that.
Yeah.
Do you think that it makes, that it kind of raises the standard for how everybody should feel all the time? I'm just saying,
deep,
like, it's sort
sigh.
Of one of those things that feels like a drop in the bucket, right? Like, mm-hmm. if every single one of us decides to just pretend everything is okay all the time, it might make us feel better on a micro level, but on a macro level contribute to an overall environment where it's easy for every individual person to feel a little bit worse all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, that's
why I think it's interesting when you see people. This is happening now, actually, with a couple friends of mine who are going through some pretty serious health problems. I have a friend who just had a double mastectomy, for instance, and is
She's okay.
It was elective. She found out that she had the BCRA2 gene that mm-hmm. that indicates that she would be likely
that
to have breast
serious.
Cancer. It's very
yeah.
serious. It's very serious. And so she's using social media as a platform to share her story, which I think there's a lot of value in that for people out there who are mm-hmm. looking to find information and looking to be able to identify that story and that diagnosis and that path with a real person, with a real face. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's another place where social media can be a value, where if you are experiencing something mm-hmm. pretty deep and pretty dark, you can find somebody else who's willing to share that story publicly. And it takes a lot of bravery to be that person. The tricky thing is when you're that person and doing it for the right reasons versus trying to commodify or trying to.
Well, and that's a whole subgenre of
yeah.
like stuff. Like every couple months you read something, it's like, yeah, this woman raised $500,000 for her cancer treatment and she never had cancer.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's
man.
Dark.
So here's like my final kind of question on this subject. So, you know, we're talking about like people being, you know, self-absorbed, using social media the way they would use any tool. They're using it to promote themselves, they're using it to take pictures of their dicks and share it with other people who might want to touch
their dicks. I do that all the time.
Yeah, you send me so many dick pics.
DPs, I call them.
DPs. Ew.
DPs, ew.
That's gross. DP from GP. But here's the thing. Like, you know, I was reading this article the other day about how, you know, back, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, before people even had screens to look at, people were like using art to flex about their social groups, and they
yeah.
were using like still photography, and they were carving themselves, having a great time. Do you think that kind of bragging about yourself and presenting yourself in the best possible light is kind of a tale as old as time?
Yes, for sure.
I agree completely. Yeah.
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 I mean, do you think that back in the day, people were like, uh-oh, you know what? All this sculpting going on, these kids' brains are getting damaged. These kids are going to grow up just expecting sculptures of
yeah,
them to be made
exactly.
all the time in these extremely like good positions. And, you know, they don't always look like that.
Michelangelo put a Valencia filter on this sculpture. And what is that? What kind of message is that sending? Yeah, I mean, it is definitely a tale as old as time, because we have always, as a species, desired mm-hmm. affirmation. We
yeah.
all want that. The question is why we seek public affirmation versus affirmation from those that really mean something to us IRL. And I don't know how to compromise those two necessarily. I mean, I think there was a time where people who sought fame were very clearly those who needed public affirmation. But now, because social media exists as a platform for all people, anybody who wants public affirmation can seek it and can find it. And that's very scary. And that's the difference, I think, between the way that affirmation used to be used before the advent of technology and the way that it's being used right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tan, you just moved here.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that you're a ways away from a lot of people you care about. I wonder if, like, being far away from people means that social media is more essential than it's ever been.
Yes and no, because the folks that I'm already closest with, I'm just calling them. Like, I'm just...
You're calling people?
Yeah, I'm calling people and FaceTiming.
You use the phone feature of the phone?
I FaceTime... What? Yes! Oh, my God. I FaceTime with friends that live... Do you do that?
No. I don't do a lot of FaceTime.
Oh, I do a lot of FaceTime.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, well, because my girlfriend actually lives on the East Coast right now.
Oh, gosh.
And we started long distance, so I started this pattern of FaceTiming people.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So I'm like a FaceTimer.
I like it.
And so with social media, I'm like, it's great because, like, I am able to connect with folks that I haven't seen. But, like, with my close friends, I'm already, like... calling mm-hmm. them.
That sounds so much healthier.
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing to me is when someone I don't really know well, an acquaintance, will come up to me in public if we're passing and then comment on something that I've posted like several weeks ago.
That's fucked up.
That creeps me out.
Yes.
Truly, it's like, wow, it looks like you really had fun with your cat a couple weeks. I'm like, no. Please don't talk to me about
looks like
that.
You're killing it, Grace. By the way, I hear that. I'm sure you guys hear this too. Looks like you're killing it, Grace. No, I am not. I do not feel like that. And if that's my public persona, then that is... sadly misleading.
Yeah.
Sadly misleading. And then that's a danger, too, that we have a responsibility in the way that we curate our social yeah. media personalities, especially as people who do use social media for our careers. There is a distinction, I think, between those of us who have, healthy followings and those people who are really just using it for family
healthy
and friends.
Healthy or unhealthy?
Great,
I would go ahead and say unhealthy following.
Great distinction. Yes.
Sometimes, though, I kind of like it when people are like, oh, I saw this. Like, congrats on it's like a conversation. Starter, like I was on set this week, and this woman who does wardrobe, who has done it on a different project I work on too, she came up to me and she was like, "I see you got yourself a California boyfriend. Congratulations!" And I was like, "Oh,
that's so cute.
That is very sweet of you to like see me and think to say something, just to like say something personal to me. That was very, it was very nice." So, I mean, mixed bag,
mixed bag. No formula for everybody either. You got to lean in to the individuality of how you handle social
also,
media.
Also, if something is making you feel bad, just stop. You can stop it.
You can stop it.
Just remind yourself, like, I feel bad. What am I doing right now? I don't need to keep doing this exact thing. I can stop it and do something else.
Right.
And I found that like when I'm starting to feel bad about Instagram or Facebook, well, Facebook I feel bad about for different reasons, but when I start to feel bad about stuff, I can be like, you know what? There's a whole world that isn't on a screen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I could just put things down, go out and walk around.
Yep.
Talk to a human being.
Yeah.
I mean.
And use that mute feature liberally.
Oh, I do. It's the best feature.
I agree. I'm muting both of you guys after this.
Excellent.
Yes, great.
Finally. I've made it.
I've been waiting for that.
All right, we have to take a break, but when we come back this week in Sorry.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you.
back with This Week in Sorry. Ladies, we do, I mean, we apologize a lot. Maybe too much.
I'm sorry, what?
We
constantly apologize.
Maybe too much. I mean, yeah.
I was just told recently, like, I've been told multiple times in my life, you don't have to apologize so much.
Yeah, but we agree that it's important to apologize.
It is,
yeah. But that makes us the experts on it.
Yes.
And us the arbiters of how seriously we should take other people's sorries, because we know.
Yes.
As, mm-hmm. like, people who have done sorries the most. So, this was a story that made me just push my laptop away and go, no, not right now. No, not right now. On Monday, professional soccer player Ada Hegerberg won the prestigious award. Our producer Caroline, who speaks French, told me the pronunciation is Ballon d'Or. Oh, I did it.
Ballon d'Or
award recognizing
Ballon d'Or.
It's an award that recognizes that she's the best soccer player in the world. Mm. Prior to this ceremony, the award had only been given to male players for the past 60 years. Wow. She's only 23 years old. That's amazing.
Wow.
That's awesome.
23-year-old Norwegian forward was the top scorer in the French league last season. She played for Olympique Lyonnais women's soccer team with 31 goals. That's a lot of goals.
Dude.
And she gave an acceptance speech telling little girls to believe in yourselves. All of this is very uplifting,
yes.
Right?
It's
what
the
could
best.
Go wrong? What could go wrong? Following her speech, the host of the event, DJ, Martin Solveig, asked Hegerberg in French, do you know how to twerk?
Facepalm.
Hegerberg looked visibly uncomfortable and responded, no. People were understandably upset by this, and the DJ, just don't let DJs do things.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
DJ is the biggest red flag for everything.
Oh, yes. My God.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Absolutely. Although, there is a DJ named DJ Salinger, which I think is an amazing DJ name.
Oh, that's really good.
That's
I
a
like
good name.
That.
Yeah. But anyway, this DJ apologized for asking the best soccer player in the world if she knew how to twerk. He apologized on Twitter saying, I acknowledge that it was in poor taste, and I am deeply sorry for my mistake. Oh, good typing, Solveig's publicist. He states that the incident was a, quote, misunderstanding, explaining that he was asked to prepare a song for each winner and that he thought it was ironic to ask someone to twerk to Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon.
Oh, yeah,
DJ's famous irony understanding. okay, so, Tian, what are your thoughts on this whole incident?
So, as a huge soccer fan, this really pissed me off because it was so exciting. It's like this moment that women are receiving this award for the first time, and it should have been such a, like, that should have been the end of the story. Is it should have just been about her winning this award, and for him to, like, thinking that's a joke, for him to take that space and to, like, take the attention away from her is just so frustrating. And I read that, like, he immediately went back there to apologize to her, but instead of apologizing was kind of like, oh, I feel so bad, which is always a woman's job to make the person, especially a dude, who fucked up to feel better about the fact that they fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was quoted as saying things like, oh, it's okay. I like, in the moment, didn't even realize. It's fine. It's fine. And it's just so frustrating that she had to then do the emotional labor of making him feel better about fucking up. And then his apology, I don't know if you read the before, but, like, he starts out with, like, a video, actually, of, like, he, like, records himself not even apologizing at first, being like, I was a misunderstanding. There's, like, there was a language barrier. I didn't realize that that's what I was asking. And, like, the humor dropped. And then at the end, he, like, does this, like, half-ass sorry.
He lost me a DJ.
I know.
For sure. I mean, I agree with you. That was very eloquently put. All of that is completely accurate. And, I mean, to me, it's like, if you're going to make a dumb, dumb joke like that, why twerk? I mean, at least floss is more, like, a little more relevant. I don't know.
Right.
I just, it's...
Or crump.
Crump.
Do you know how to crump? That's a funnier joke about flying me to the moon.
Maybe the problem here is that this guy doesn't have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And that, exactly.
I mean,
that's
when's the last time you've heard a
Martin
Solveig song?
Yeah.
Literally never.
Yeah. When's the last time a DJ was funny?
Ooh.
Never.
Never.
DJ Tanner from Full House. Not funny, though. More sweet.
Yeah, but she did have a laugh track that reinforced the
That's
idea
true.
To her that she was funny. Can you imagine? Okay, so this is just a total tangent, and I'm sure we'll edit this out or put it in a separate thing. Can you imagine like being a character within a sitcom and going about your life thinking that saying things like, oh, great, was hilarious? Like, you know, like you're inside a sitcom and every time you say something stupid, you hear laughter.
Oh, my God.
And then you like go out into the world and like you don't have the laughter anymore. You would be so confused about like why you're not funny. Anyway, I think I just came up with an idea for a show.
That's really
fun. Imagine
how
Matthew Perry felt walking around in the world when he wasn't Chandler. Like, I mean, you get so accustomed to that. You just think like that's the way it is.
There's a really good YouTube video of 2.5 Men with a laugh track removed.
Oh, I've seen that. I have not seen that.
So good.
Okay, yeah. I'll watch.
We'll put it in the show notes for everybody.
For sure.
But anyway, let's get back to the sorry. Mm-hmm. Do we accept the sorry?
No.
We don't.
No.
There's three no's.
No.
The
unanimous no. Sorry, DJ.
All right. Easy enough. Final segment of the show, The Hills Will Die On. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, we're now going to be including listener hills in every episode. So if you want to contribute yours, please record a 30-second or less. Our producer Caroline is like, 30 seconds! 30-second or less voice memo on your phone and email it to hysteria@crooked.com. That's hysteria@crooked.com. You can also send your holiday stories there, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show. But let's get to a couple listener hills before we get to the co-host hills. All right, let's start it.
Hi, Hysteria. My name is Tara. The hill I will die on is that candles are complete garbage. I will never understand why people want to set multiple open flames ablaze in their homes. Candles are just a major fire hazard. I actually know someone whose family home burned down from a stupid candle. Nice fragrances, however, are not garbage, so people just simply need to switch to plug-ins or diffusers. But forever and always, I will think that candles are absolute trash. And I 100% judge anyone who willingly and gleefully sets multiple open flame fires ablaze in their home. Candles are garbage, and that is the hill I will die on.
I love the conviction of this hill. I disagree with it completely, but
yes, I
love
the conviction.
Too.
I respect her death on that hill.
Me too.
But I will not join her on that.
No, that is an honorable death for sure. I mean, I don't think that our listener has taken a candlelit shower.
God, I've never done that.
Fire and water is like a self-negating combination.
Precisely. Candles right outside the shower. So it's in the bathroom, usually on the sink, placed in a place where it's not going to go anywhere. And then you take a shower. It's amazing.
Really?
That's so nice.
Oh, it is so relaxing. It is so relaxing.
I lit some candles at home. Sorry. I lit a couple candles at home the other night because I needed to take a break from writing. And I was like, what's on Lifetime? And I turned it on and it was a Melissa Joan Hart movie.
Oh, wow.
Where she gets broken up by a man in a Santa Claus suit who crumbles a cookie in his hand in front of her and goes, that's the way the relationship crumbles. And it was a really relaxing moment for me because it like made me feel better as a writer. I was like, you know what? I'm not... Things get made, you know? Things get made.
No Glade plug-in could replicate that moment for you like a candle.
No, and it was like one of those big, tall gold ones from Anthropology that smells like a campfire, which is not really how it smells, but, you know.
That cost $375.
Oh.
Have you heard of these diptych candles?
I've heard of those. They're amazing. They're so potent.
Okay, I truly just talked about this last night with friends, and I did not know that it was like a thing.
Yeah. They're expensive.
And very expensive thing.
And they are just heaven.
Candlefish, yes. Also very good.
Ooh, what's that?
Candlefish is like, they have just different flavor coming. I don't.
Are you eating your candles?
Aaron? I find them delicious. They're an important. The wax is very fibrous. Helps keep me regular. No, they're like a interesting combination of scents. So it'll be like sage and rose and like whatever. They're good.
Interesting.
Okay.
Anyway, but congratulations, Tara. That was a compelling hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah, I think we've got a bonus one today. Yeah?
A bonus Jonas.
All right, let's make it.
By the way, that is what the fourth Jonas brother is called. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's really funny.
Everyone's like, I didn't know there was a fourth Jonas, but bonus Jonas.
Oh, God.
Congrats to Priyanka and Nick, and hi to the bonus Jonas.
Okay. Let's go.
Hi, Hysteria. My name is Lily, and the hill that I will die on this week is that the cold side of the pillow is the most overrated thing. I just don't understand the hype around people's obsession with it. When I want to go to bed at night, I want everything to be nice and warm, and with a cold pillow, everything is just very uncomfortable. I wrote an op-ed paper about this in my English class last year. And not only did my teacher tell me it was the stupidest paper a student has ever written for him, but he read it to my class and they all shitted on me, saying my opinion was wrong. I would like to hear what you guys have to say about this.
Lily, wow. That was wonderful, Lily. Thank you for that.
Really, I'm sorry that that teacher did that to you, but it sounds like Lily is pretty tough.
Yeah.
It sounds like the type of person that sounds like a thick skin developing experience.
Yes.
Maybe you can go into comedy.
I think so too. Or write your college essay about this experience, because that's wonderful.
I don't know, the cool side of the pillow. So here's my thoughts on like warmth and bedtime.
I'm very curious about
this. Yeah, me too.
I grew up in way up north in a really small town in Wisconsin, which I've mentioned a bunch of times. My house was a very old house, and it was heated with a wood stove. And my bedroom was at the farthest point in the house from the wood stove. So it was the coldest, like wood stove, like we burned wood. My dad would go in the woods and like cut down trees and stuff. Well, dead trees. Anyway, so we would, you know, that's how we heated our house. And my room was freezing cold. And so in order for me to be warm at night, I would sleep under like a pile of blankets, like five or six blankets, and like fashion a den for myself and like bring the pillow into the den with me. I would sleep with the covers over my head. I was like Laura Ingalls Wilder, but it was like the 80s and the 90s. And so I really like to be warm at bedtime, but like in a cave. I need to like make a cave for myself. When I first moved to a warm climate, I had a difficult time sleeping because it's like, what, just sheet?
Yeah.
I'm not being crushed right now. I can't sleep under just a sheet. So I respect the temperature thing, although I don't necessarily have the same opinions about the cool side of the pillow.
I don't even remember the last time I thought about the cool side of the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I
wow.
just.
How privileged
wow,
of you.
So, wow. Check
you
your
know
privilege
what?
At
I'm
the
sorry.
Door.
You know what? Everyone's thinking about the cool side of pillow. It's so last year. I just like, I don't flip. Is that when you flip the pillow?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I just, whatever my pillow is set up to be, I just lay on it.
What are the mechanics of the pillow flippage?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
This is why I think it's an interesting predicament. Do you, Aaron, I'm just curious, do you also sleep with like head-to-toe pajamas on top of?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you sleep with socks on?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's the hill.
I don't wear very many clothes when I go to sleep.
No socks, me neither.
No socks.
I don't like socks.
Yeah, socks at night feels weird.
It feels weird.
So here's the hill I'm going to die in this week. So this is, we were talking about social media, and as we were prepping for the show, I was just thinking about the ways that I use Instagram, and I am getting ready for a trip to South America. I'm going to go to Chile in January. I've never been to Chile before, and I love the mountains, and I'm really excited about it, brushing up on my Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been following hashtags of places that I'm planning on visiting when I go down there. And I really want there to be a feature where I can filter out all the people. I just want to be able to look at pictures of San Pedro de Atacama. I just want to look at pictures of Arica. Or I want to look at pictures of Santiago, and I don't want there to be a human butt in the front of it. Like, I don't, you know, good
What
for,
if the butt is in front of one of these
it's
monuments?
Like, I would prefer to see the whole monument without the butt part.
Gotcha.
Like, it's like if there was a hand in front of it. That's not what I'm trying to look at right now. I'm not in it for the butts right now.
Right.
I'm in it for the scenery. I want to see the scenery. And also another one that I follow is Fennec Fox, the hashtag Fennec Fox, which is the kind of fox that has enormous ears. They're very cute.
So cute.
But
yes.
A lot of times it's just like anime characters, because apparently Fennec Fox type features are in anime as well. And it's like, good for, I wish that there was a way for me to be like, no, but the animal.
And
I want the animal.
You know what I think that we're harkening back to is an era where we need travel books. So you just go, because then if you get a book, then all you're seeing are just pictures.
Yeah, but I want to see what the Valle de Luna looks like today.
I see.
I want to see what it looks like, you know, what people are, we're walking through and we saw this cool thing today.
Right.
I don't want to see, like, this is what it looked like today with my butt in it. It's like,
Aaron hates butts.
Aaron hates butts. She's very anti-butt.
I love a butt. I love a butt, but I don't want to be like, especially if I'm like looking through it in public, I don't want it to be like, this bitch is looking at so many butts.
Yeah, that's what I fear whenever I look at, like, when I'm online shopping or when I'm looking at Rent the Runway or whatever, and I'm trying to find cute outfits, and then it's just breasts, just so much cleavage.
Yeah.
And in public, I'm like, I'm not a creep, but I hear you. Yeah. I hear you on that,
it. People are using hashtags incorrectly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes me so mad.
There needs to be a hashtag police.
I feel this way too about, like, when people hashtag weddings.
Oh.
And I like, I mean, I do it too. When I go to a wedding, I'll hashtag like, not the bride and the groom.
Like, hashtag Smurfs, hashtag plants, like, hashtag life.
Yes, I see so many people going to weddings and hashtagging like their couple photo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you never see the bride and groom, which I think is so funny.
That is really funny.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So like a signifier of the times that we're living.
Yeah.
All right, Grace, what's your hill this week?
Okay, my hill is extremely specific. Okay. If anybody out there has relates or understands or agrees with this, please let me know. I was watching the movie Notting Hill this past week. It's wonderful.
I mean, I was just going to be like questionable, but then I just talked about the Lifetime movie I was watching. So carry on. I'm in no position to judge.
The hill that I'm going to die on this week. Hugh Grant should never have slept with Julia Roberts, who plays Anna Scott in this movie, specifically the scene where Anna Scott is staying over in Hugh Grant's apartment after it's already been established that she is a sociopath with an American boyfriend played by Alec Baldwin. And Hugh Grant already knows all of this, and he still sleeps with her that night. It's terrible. It's a bad character choice. He is continuing this path towards being in love with Anna Scott when really he should open his heart up to somebody else, and he needs to say no in that moment and scoot her back upstairs to his bedroom while he's sleeping on the couch and sleep. He needs to get his 8 hours of sleep that night and move the fuck on with his life, because what ends up happening is they get married, and I think that marriage is going to fail ultimately, and it all hinged on that moment where he decided to sleep with her and shouldn't have.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember that moment right now.
I never made it all the way through that movie because I was like, Hugh Grant, ugh.
I agree. You know what? Yes. I'll die on that hill with
you. Thank you so much.
I will.
Thank you.
Especially because, like, Julie Roberts and Alec Baldwin.
Ugh. He is only good in, you know, another hill, quick hill I'll die on. Alec Baldwin is only good in Beetlejuice.
30 Rock.
He's great in 30 Rock, too, but he plays himself.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so he's only acting. He's only good at acting in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right, Tian, what's your hill?
Okay, so I just want to... I've just watched all of The Office for the first time ever, and I'm only bringing this up because I want to talk to somebody about it.
Noble reason.
I think the hill that I'm going to die... I think Jim and Pam are the absolute worst portrayal of a couple in TV of all time.
Damn.
I think they are awful. I remember, like, while in school, everyone loving the two of them. I'm like, okay, what's the big deal? Like, everyone's like, I want to be a Jim. I want to be a Pam. They're so great. Oh my God, I want that relationship. Finally watched it. They're the worst. They are awful to each other. I don't think their relationship started on, like, good vibes because of, what's his face?
Roy.
Like, Roy.
Roy.
And I also think that Jim would do these huge life decisions and make these huge grand gestures without ever consulting her or talking to her because he loved, like, the surprise aspect of it.
Mm.
And I think that's just awful and bad communication between a couple. I think they're awful.
Wow.
And I think they ruin the show.
Wow.
Whoa.
And everyone else around them is better.
Wow.
But Jim and Pam are the worst couple of all time.
Wow, that is quite a hill.
It is.
People are going to disagree with that.
Yeah,
really?
I don't know that they're. I remember when I first watched the show, thinking, "Oh, like it's so romantic, it's cute." Because, like, honestly, who hasn't shat where they eat? You know,
right?
Like, I had, you know, everybody's hooked up with somebody that they worked with, and like, I think at the time that I was watching it, I was dating somebody that I worked with. And, like, it was like, oh, it's so cute. We're like Jim and Pam. And then, like, we broke up. Like, Jim and Pam probably should have.
They should have.
Yeah. But anyway. Okay.
That's very interesting.
I think you're right about the lack of communication skills, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like, you know, if it were a drama, I guess maybe they could have their relationship more fleshed out. But because it's comedy, it's like, what would be the funniest possible scenario to put these people
right.
in?
Right.
But I hear you on the grand gestures thing. You're right that Jim does that. It's sort of like, we had a conversation about this, about the guy who proposed to his girlfriend when she's running a marathon and interrupted the marathon. It was going to be this big moment for her, and he interrupted her. I mean, it's like with our soccer player earlier, too. Men making these big gestures and taking away from women's agency.
Yeah.
Yep.
And maybe that's...
That's what... It's like he bought a house for them without talking about it. He, like, started that job in Philadelphia secretly without telling her about it and kind of, like, puts her in situations where she kind of has to be like, okay, I guess I have to, like, agree with this.
I mean, it's kind of unbelievable that he never had an affair. If he's that secretive and that, like,
you know? Yeah, interesting.
But anyway, that's a kind of dark note to
end. I don't think about that, Hill, honestly. Really? I think it's thought-provoking. I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes. So Grace will be milling around at the base of the hill while you're dying on top of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not running away from it. And I might be watching your death while it's happening. I'm not sure that I'll come up there with you yet.
Well, I know someone on Medium.com agrees with me, so as long as they're going to die on this hill with me, it's fine.
As long as I don't die alone in life.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for Hills You'll Die On this week. Tian Tran, thank you so much for stopping by and guest hosting.
Thank you so much for having
Grace
me.
Grace Paro, thanks for being here.
Thank you, per usual.
I'm Erin Ryan, and there'll be more Hysteria next week. This nation, fuck Janet. With these girls, gotta fan it. Y2K email and scan it. Don't take no for an answer. Girl with a mouth that's overdone. Right, cause girls just wanna have fun. So Annie, get your gun. Give them what they want, it will never be enough. You can take what you want from me. Yeah, I'll say it loud and we're gonna shut it down.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.